This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's my joy to welcome you to this place on this third Sunday of Advent and to share with you some of the wonderful things that are going on in this place to help lead us into this season of waiting and preparation. Before I do that, however, I want to welcome especially those of you who are visiting with us this morning. We have a tour of the building that will be beginning at 9:30 just outside this doorway. And if you'd like to learn your way around the building and learn a little bit more about our congregation, we'd love for you to join us at the Welcome Center at 9:30. All of us are invited to sign in every Sunday. We have registration pads, and hopefully they're making their way down the row. And if you would sign those and let us know you were here, that would be a great help to our staff. If you're visiting with us and would be willing to share an email address or a mailing address, that will allow us to be in touch with you and let you know some of the specific ways we're trying to live out God's love in our community. Today is the last day for our mission market. So just outside the store in Reed Hall, we have pottery and stained glass and things from Thistle Farms, all of those gifts available. And if you buy one of those gifts, it will go to support those ministries. And it's a great way to do good at the same time that we are giving gifts in this season. I want to remind us of a slightly different schedule for worship in the next couple of weeks. Next Sunday is Christmas Eve, so we will have one 11 o'clock service and no Sunday school next Sunday morning. At 4 o'clock, we'll gather in here for our family Christmas Eve service, and that means church family. You don't have to have children or any of that. It's a wonderful service for everybody, and our children help to lead that service. So we'd love for you to come at 4 o'clock. Or at 10:30 p.m., we'll have our traditional Christmas Eve service for those who are allowed to stay up late. And then on December 31st, once again, we'll have only one worship service on Sunday morning, and that will be at 11 o'clock with no Sunday school. And then at 6:30 on New Year's Eve, upstairs in the theater, we'll have a service of Teze worship. So many opportunities to worship in the next couple of weeks, and hopefully we are all taking our time through this season to prepare to receive the good news of Christ coming into our lives and into our world afresh. Let us worship together.
Come the long expected Jesus, for to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee.
down to us this Advent season.
Divine love heals and transforms our lives. With great joy, we receive that love and share it with others. We open our hearts to all God's children, the last, the least, and the lost, as well as those who feel privileged. The Lord has done and continues to do great things for us. Praise be to God, who loves us so much in this darkened world. Please be seated. We light this third candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of the justice of Christ coming into our world. Hear these words from the Psalms. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed of sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Let us confess our sins to the one who searches us and knows us. Patient and forgiving God, you know we want to be people of peace and justice, but when opportunities come to participate in groups working for justice, we turn our backs and walk the other way, or we give a token pledge and then ignore further pleas for assistance. We hide our names from appearing on rolls of supporters of justice-seeking organizations. Forgive us, O God, when we give only lip service to ministries of justice, rather than pledging our lives to helping all people in need. Free us from our selfishness, banish our fears, and move us in ways of peace and justice, bringing your love and hope to all God's children. We ask these things in God's name. Amen. Rejoice, you who once lived in darkness. On you a new light is shining, and the light of God's glory shall brighten your path. You are healed, loved, and forgiven. Be at peace. Live in God's love and bring hope and justice to all God's people. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Holy God, help us to give voice to the wonderful news. You yourself are coming to dwell among us. Quicken our imaginations to find new and creative ways to proclaim Christ's coming. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 11. Del profeta Isaías. Escuchen la lectura. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me in the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. La palabra de Dios para el pueblo de Dios. The word of God for the people of God. Gracias damos a Dios.
All the grown-ups to be seated and children of any age to come forward for just a moment. One of my very first memories was of a Christmas morning, and I think I was maybe 4 years old, I might have been five, and I was all warm and asleep in my bed on Christmas morning, and my two sisters and my brother, they were all older than me, came and woke me up. I opened my eyes and they were all standing around my bed shaking me and saying, "Carol, Carol, guess what? You got your sew magic." Now I know y'all are thinking, what's a sew magic? Well, when I was your age, it was a really cool toy. It was like a pretend sewing machine and a little glue came out so you could make clothes that never really worked. But that's what I wanted for Christmas. And my brother and my sisters were so excited to tell me the good news that I had gotten what I wanted for Christmas. They were more excited about that than they were about their own presents. Have you ever been the one to give good news to somebody? Maybe you've had a chance to say to a friend at school, "Our teacher brought cupcakes today." Or maybe you got to tell people in your family, "I'm going to have a baby sister." It's really exciting to be someone to tell good news to somebody else. In our Bible lesson this morning, God wants us to give good news to people, especially good news to people who are hurting or sad or poor. And so I want to invite you to find some ways to share the good news with other people that God loves them, that Jesus loves them, and that they are very, very important. Let's pray together. Dear God, you want the whole world to know how much you love them, especially those who don't feel loved, especially those who feel forgotten and left behind and left out. So help us to be the people who bring the good news of your love, who go searching for people who feel left out, and tell them how much God loves them. Thank you for these children who are so good at sharing your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. You can head back to your seats with parents or grandparents or friends. I realize that some of you here this morning are probably in the middle of exams. Some of you are teachers who are in the middle of grading exams and getting all of that wrapped up. So I want to apologize for talking just a minute about ancient history. I just want to talk for a second about the Persian Empire. The Persian Empire was really amazing. I remember studying about the Persian Empire in ancient history class and learning how it was the biggest empire of the Western world up until its time. It went all the way from Egypt in the west to India in the east. It was the first empire to have sort of a structured bureaucracy. The first emperor was Cyrus the Great. And every empire after that, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, modeled themselves in some way on the Persian Empire. So it's fascinating to study all the greatness of the Persian Empire. And if you want to know more, you can find all sorts of books, and you can go to Wikipedia and find pictures and archaeology books and all that. But you won't find much about the Persian Empire in the Bible. Even though it was the greatest show on earth in 500 BC, it gets barely a mention in the Holy Scriptures. I think the name of Cyrus appears twice. And I think the reason for that is that our Holy Scriptures are not interested in the story of empire. Our Scriptures have passed down to us the story of this little band of people with whom God had a special covenant. And for most of their history, they were the oppressed minority. They were always the underdog, except for a brief little time when they had some kings and some independence. But that era of their history didn't last long. They were conquered by the Assyrians, and then by the Babylonians, and then by the Persians, and then again by the Greeks and the Romans. But our Scriptures tell us the story of these underdogs, the weak ones, the forgotten ones. And when we come to this passage from Isaiah that we have just heard, it's at a moment when the Persian Empire is on the rise, at its position of greatness. And Cyrus the Great, for whatever reason, has decided to allow the Jewish captives who've been captured by Babylon and now are living in that land to go home. He's releasing them from their captivity. We don't really know why. And at that moment in history, God raises up a prophet to announce the good news. God's good news of release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, good news to the poor and the oppressed, that God is with them and God is a God of justice. God has not forgotten them, and God is with them and on their side. Fast forward 500 years. Now the empire is the great Roman Empire, and it is the great Caesar Augustus who sits on the throne in Rome. And yet, the story of God continues with a little peasant girl who's carrying a baby outside of marriage. And she and her husband are refugees in a city that is not their home. And she gives birth to a poor little baby child. And the first people who get the announcement of the good news of the salvation of the world is not the Roman Empire, not those in power, but a little band of shepherds who really have nobody to tell, because nobody will listen to them anyway. Fast forward a few more years, and that baby has grown into a man. And he walks into the door of the synagogue of his hometown in Nazareth. He's going to preach his first sermon, announcing who he is to the world, the Son of God, the Messiah. And he opens up the scroll of Isaiah and reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Release from oppression, liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind." Revealing to the world once again that the God whom we worship is a God who brings good news to the lowest of the low, who will find the invisible ones, the unlovable ones, the lost and the least, and lift them up into the light of God's love. We see it lived out in the ministry of Jesus, where he gathers around him the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the lepers, the castaways that nobody else is interested in being in. And he proclaims to the world, "This is the kingdom of God." So fast forward to our own day. We are the people of God, this same God whose story we hear in Isaiah, in Luke's gospel, in the story of the New Testament, this undercurrent of God's goodness and love for the invisible ones. And we are called to carry that mission in our world today. I don't know why, but sometimes I forget that. It's easy for me to get caught up in the power plays of our day and who are the important people and how do I get in with the good people and the important people and the powerful people. It's easy for me to overlook and even be blind to the lost and the oppressed who are right here among us. A few years ago, my eyes were opened in ways that I had never expected them to be. I was with a group of pastors, and we had a conversation with a woman named Clemmie Greenlee. I don't know if you've ever heard of Clemmie Greenlee. Clemmie and I both grew up in Nashville. She's just a few years older than I am, so we were in school at about the same time. But we had very different experiences in the same city. At the age of 8, Clemmie began to be abused by the men in her neighborhood. And at age 12, she was taken away from her neighborhood and forced into prostitution and spent 30 years in that kind of slavery and oppressive system. One day, she found herself, part of the way that they kept her in that ring of prostitution was to keep her addicted to drugs. And so when she got too old, she was just living out of a crack house and living out her days, trying to get to the next dose. And she had a friend who had broken out of that system through the ministry of the Magdalene House. Becca Stevens and Thistle Farms and the Magdalene House that has that incredible ministry in our city, bringing women out of that system of oppression and setting them free. And her friend came once a week and brought her a card with the phone number for Magdalene House on it. Call this number. And she said she had 100 of those cards stacked up before she finally made the phone call. And she set foot into Magdalene House, and for the first time in her life, she felt seen and loved. And the moment that was so convicting for me in hearing her story was when she said, you know, this was happening right here in Nashville, and nobody saw me. I stopped going to school, and nobody came looking for me. Nobody in my neighborhood came looking for me. Nobody in all of the churches came looking for me. And I was so deeply convicted by that, and so grateful that somewhere along the way there was somebody who said to her, God sees you and I see you. That is our job and our calling, my brothers and sisters. We are called to be good news to the poor, to see the invisible, to love the unlovable. Because God is a God of justice. So next time we're doing our Christmas shopping and going through the line at the Walmart, let's not be so concerned about whether that cashier says Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. That's really an empire question. Why not be more concerned about whether that person has a living wage? Is he able to pay his bills? Are his children able to go to a school where they're safe and getting a good education? Do they have access to health care? Maybe those are the questions that God would have us ask. This God who is good news to all people, and we who are good God's people are called to be and to live out that good news. The way that Jesus Christ came into the world is a sign of the God who sees and loves all people. So let us affirm our faith in this God who has come to be made known to us in Jesus the Christ. Will you stand as you're able and join with me in our affirmation, page 889. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up our joys and concerns as a congregation, as an offering to our loving God. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to share, please fill out the gray card in the pew rack in front of you and put that in the offering plate in a few moments as it comes by. We have two roses on the altar this morning to celebrate the births of two babies. Augustus Graves Nielsen was born December the 6th to Josie and Andrew Nielsen. He is welcomed also by his big brother, Barrick Nielsen. Forrest Janila Nicole Balthazar was born December the 10th to Jonathan and Nikisha Balthazar. She is welcomed by her grandmother, Edwina, Joy, Balthazar. And we mourn with three families this morning. Lynn and Frank Clement are mourning the death of Lynn's mother, Maxine Moore, who died December 7th in Greenville, South Carolina. Davis and Melora Turner and their family are mourning the death of Davis's brother, Andrew Stewart Turner, who died December the 12th in McKinley, Texas. And longtime West End member June Marjorie Webster died on December the 13th. A memorial service was held at Marshall Donnelly and Combs' funeral home on Saturday, December the 16th. Among her survivors is her brother, Medford Webster. Let us turn to God in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, you bring glad tidings to the poor. Let us hear. You heal the brokenhearted. Make us whole. You free prisoners from captivity. Free us from ourselves. Loving God, as we wait for your appearing in final victory, guide us to participate with the seeds you plant and grow on earth. Guide us to end poverty. Work in us to bring wholeness to broken spaces and places. May we comfort those in grief, hold hope for those who despair, and create peace in our communities, especially those still divided by race, class, and politics. Sometimes it's hard to believe that your promises in Isaiah 61 will come for us or will come through us. This is why we wait, prepare, hope, and long for Jesus to break through the unbelief and sin. Thank you, God, for being born again and again in our lives, so that when we experience your peace, wholeness, and freedom, it extends to the world, bringing about your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. May we set our intentions once again for this task as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In this season of gift giving, let us remember the source of all of our gifts and return our tithes and blessings with thanks and praise.
Rejoice, my friends, in the good news that Christ is coming for us. Rejoice in the good news that Christ is working through us to be good news for the world. May we go in that joy and in that peace. Amen.
Rejoice.